other takeaways is the housing market dynamics failing to address housing needs, though. With higher development costs, these higher interest rates and higher operating costs, private market is not able to develop affordable housing without incentives. I mean, it's been like this for a while, but it seems to be even worse now. With there being just less housing starts and the greatest absorption we've seen in 24 years, it has become even more challenging for lower-income renters to find housing that is not a burden. The number of households spending more than 50% of their income on housing continues to rise, and it's actually at an all-time high. So we need housing volume at all income levels.
Welcome to Buzz House, a Baker Tilly podcast where you can hear all the buzz around multifamily housing with all the info you need to help you win now and anticipate tomorrow. Hi, I'm Don Bernards, the principal in charge of Baker Tilly's multifamily housing practice.
And I'm Garrick Gibson, a principal at Baker Tilly, also specializing in consulting on multifamily housing transactions across the country.
Let's get started. For today's episode, Garrick and I will be giving an overview of Baker Tilly's second quarter commercial real estate market report, of course, focusing on the multifamily segment. The report is led by our business partner, Brent Mayer. And again, thank you, Brent, and his team for producing this report with so much good and timely information. Real quick before Garrick and I jump into our discussion on the report, I have a couple of news updates from around the industry. Members of Congress left their offices on Capitol Hill to return home to their states and districts until early September for a month-long district work period known as the August recess. Before leaving Washington, members of the U.S. Senate voted largely along party lines on August 1st, unfortunately not, for the housing industry to advance the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act, which had included many provisions for increased local housing tax credits, among other items. It was a $78 billion tax bill that had passed the U.S. House of Representatives with overwhelming bipartisan support back in January. Reports indicate that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer intends to bring up the bill for a vote again after the recess. In other news, bipartisan groups in both the House and Senate introduced the Revitalizing Downtowns and Main Street Act, that's in the House, and then the Senate companion bill. The House bill would authorize a tax credit up to 20% of qualified conversion costs, which would again help to address two pressing issues: an excess of underused and or vacant commercial properties and the long outstanding affordable housing crisis here in the U.S. A couple of facts. About 7.5% of commercial mortgage-backed securities are currently delinquent, with over 50% of office property loans maturing by the end of 2026. So a big hurdle or cliff out there on the office space. It does not appear likely that the Revitalizing Downtowns and Main Street Act will be considered this year in Congress, unless the bill will likely need to be reintroduced next year, but a good chance it'll be considered with other community development tax priorities in 2025 tax legislation, given its bipartisan support, as well as support amongst many professionals in the real estate industry. The last piece of news that was very interesting to read about, and hopefully a lot can come of it, the Biden administration addressed both rising rents along with ideas around creating more units of housing with the following couple items under the Biden-Harris housing plan. These couple of provisions, first of all, called on Congress to pass legislation giving corporate landlords a choice to either cap rent increases on existing units at 5% or risk losing the ability for some accelerated depreciation. The second item, which seems to have a lot of possibilities and back to public-private partnerships, which Garrick and I do talk about sometimes, is repurposing and making public land available. For instance, the Bureau of Land Management is considering 562.5 acres of public land that has been identified by local governments in southern Nevada and that are appropriate for affordable housing in the Las Vegas Valley, which could support up to building 15,000, that's 15,000 or more, additional affordable rental and homeownership units. The BLM will also work with local governments as they come forward with housing-related requests for the roughly 26,000 acres in Las Vegas Valley that remains under BLM control. That's just Las Vegas alone. Very exciting. Similarly, the United States Forest Service is announcing plans to lease Forest Service land to build workforce housing, the first ever such projects in the country. The United States Forest Service is planning to lease strategically positioned sites for workforce housing developments, starting in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and Ketchum, Idaho, to create new affordable workforce housing. Lastly, the United States Postal Service will pilot the repurposing of certain surplus properties for housing. The USPS owns more than 8,500 facilities nationwide, including some that are not needed for postal operations in areas that face a shortage of affordable housing. truly, truly exciting to see these, what would be public-private partnership opportunities to bring around more affordable housing. The parks, excess land, excess facilities could be very exciting. With that, Garrick, we're going to jump into the summary of the second quarter Baker Tilly Real Estate Report. Bring in my good friend and principal, Garrick Gibson. Garrick, would you be able to summarize, as we usually start out with this, just the general economic overview, that the takeaway from here of the second quarter report?
Yes, definitely. And thanks for the intro, as always, Don. So when looking at the unemployment rates, a number of economists take a look around the health of the economy. While there has been a slow net uptick over the last 12 months from around 3.8% in July 2023 to 4.2% in June of 2024, this 4.2% unemployment level is still considered a very healthy level. In addition, despite this modest increase in unemployment levels, the gross domestic product was strong. The growth of it was strong in the second quarter, increasing at 2.8% annual rate. Regarding inflation, which obviously it's a topic we've touched on often since it's what's consuming everyone, we saw a steep inflation over the pandemic, and the Fed has held fast to their stated goal of approximately 2% annual inflation. And given that, the second quarter only saw the consumer price index increase 26 basis points or a 1.04% annual rate. So for the first 6 months of the year, the CPI has increased 1.09%, about on track for the Fed's goals of 2%. Energy, obviously, has been the biggest driver to this improvement of these inflation figures. But many believe this overall level of moderate inflation could finally leave the Fed. And when I say finally, because they've been talking about it for a long time, finally leave the Fed to make some anticipated rate cuts, hopefully in the second half of 2024, obviously absent any major shocks in the financial system, which seems to be the norm these days. So we're hopefully they do something. I think everybody's kind of sitting around watching the news and hoping something happens there.
Right. And I think, Garrick, we'll get to that, I think, in another question or two. Talking about costs and inflation, of course, we always talk about construction costs. All of our performers, right? The biggest cost, of course, construction. Garrick, how did these costs for construction look over the quarter, given the lower level of inflation we just discussed?
Yeah. So look, in the second quarter of 2024, construction costs, as measured by the BLS index of materials and components in construction, it continued to grow slower than overall inflation, with the index increasing at less than 0.1% since January. So Don, I think this is actually welcome news to the development side of the business for sure. Lumber, pipe, copper, wire, seeing decreases in cost. Manufactured construction inputs such as carpet, brick, and insulation have increased though.
That's amazing, 0.1% growth overall. So again, that's in line with, or slower even than, the inflation numbers. Garrick, maybe a summary on the overall economy. What does the report characterize the overall economy as?
Yeah, overall, look, while housing starts and building permits have decreased since the fourth quarter of 2023, and unemployment has ticked up a little bit, you know, it appears that inflation may be back to that magic number of 2%. And as I mentioned above, and the markets are hoping for that Fed rate cut or cuts to happen the later part of 2024. So the economy is not pushed into a recession. Obviously, nobody wants that.
Garrick, let's switch over to the multifamily sector. What is noted in this second quarter report around this real estate sector at large?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think we talked about this last time. It seems to me operations are still at the forefront of the discussion. They keep going up. As far as regarding occupancy rates, we noticed last quarter that there was some concern about the large volume of units that were going to be coming online. But generally, the rate of absorption, along with a lower number of multifamily starts, it's going to alleviate much of this concern around supply pressures. However, in certain markets, like my hometown in Austin, for instance, Austin, Texas, they have such a high significant production that I think there's going to be some supply pressure there. According to Apartment List National Rent Report for July 2024, Austin had the largest decline in rents year over year at 7.4%. Looking nationally at rent growth, though, the second quarter saw rent growth at 0.4%. Again, at the national level, rents are still 0.7% over from the prior year. This is something to make sure you really understand when you're putting your pro formas together, as there are some markets with still over 5% annual rent growth, but others that are negatively trending right now. Switching discussion to actual operating expenses, because this is the thing that keeps increasing. So the recent study by the Joint Center for Housing Study at Harvard University notes operating expenses are up 7.1% year over year, fueled by 25% increase in insurance. I would think it's even slightly above 25%. But again, you know, especially with affordable housing trending at 2% rent growth, 3% expense growth for underwriting, we definitely recommend that you dig deep into the rent trending and expense growth as you would have to have no rent growth for a few years and 7% expense growth. Really stressing your performance is important.
Yeah, we saw that a lot, Garrick. 7% overall, like you said, 25%, some cases 50% insurance. I know some of those performers are definitely stressed out right now. So really looking at what kind of flexibility it helps with. You have 7% vacancy underwriting too, right? When maybe the vacancy is only 2 to kind of make up that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to the point. Just at least stress it and see what happens.
Exactly. Garrick, could you be able to touch just a little bit more detail around housing supply and demand that you hit on a little bit, but maybe a little bit more detail?
Well, there is 500,000 new multifamily units brought into the market in 2023. And an expected, I believe it was 629,000 units that were actually delivered in 2024. And according to this date from RealPage Market Analytics, right? So RealPage notes overall occupancy as of June 2024 is 94.2%. So indicating supply is being adequately absorbed. So RealPage also notes that absorption is at the highest level in 24 years, which is pretty surprising. And as there have been fewer starts in late 2023 and in 2024, this could lead again to increase in actual rents. It is anticipated many developers will rush back into the market if cheaper capital becomes available.
Right. So back to that cyclical, right, Garrick, like you said earlier, if rates come down, I know many people are hoping rates come down, maybe we can flip the trend and more construction starts again and so forth. So look forward to seeing that activity. Garrick, just one last question. What would you say the trends and takeaways for the multifamily housing market is for the second quarter 2024?
Oh, trends. Well, with the current operational challenges I just mentioned, including flat rents, vacancy in some markets, and obviously rising expenses, mostly due to insurance, many investors believe it's still a great time to acquire as the long-term fundamentals of multifamily remain strong. In fact, in the second quarter in the national market, groups like Blackstone were extremely active. Blackstone acquired 76 communities in a transaction valued at $10 billion. So Blackstone has publicly commented that now is the time to buy. Obviously, a lot of people listen to what they do. So if they're saying time to buy, then they might be right. On other takeaways is the housing market dynamics failing to address housing needs, though. With higher development costs, these higher interest rates and higher operating costs, private market is not able to develop affordable housing without incentives. I mean, it's been like this for a while, but it seems to be even worse now. With there being just less housing starts and the greatest absorption we've seen in 24 years, it has become even more challenging for lower-income renters to find housing that is not a burden. The number of households spending more than 50% of their income on housing continues to rise, and it's actually at an all-time high. So we need housing volume at all income levels.
Exactly. It feels like with interest rates lower, creating more units will help, but no short-term solutions for sure.
Definitely not short-term.
Well, that's it for this episode of The Buzz House. Garrick and I enjoyed walking through Baker Tilly's second quarter commercial real estate market update. Once again, I'm Don Bernards.
And I'm Garrick Gibson. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For additional resources around multifamily housing, check out BakerTilly.com. If you have a suggestion for the show, email us at buildabakertilly.com. That's B-U-I-L-D at BakerTilly.com. See you next time on Buzz House.